Well, good morning. I'll tell you this. Where I was sitting right up here this morning when we were singing was the Bermuda Triangle of Hayden, Marsha, and Janice all singing, and it is. I'm gonna sell tickets to that seat right there, because at one point I realized I'm not singing anymore. I'm just being blessed by the harmonies of that. It was beautiful. That is now my seat, and I will guard it as such. This morning, we're going to continue with talking about taking the next step and taking steps to a closer walk with God. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 10 for a little bit. We're going to kind of go to some other places, but we've talked about study. We've talked about studying the Word of God in order to live our lives according to how God's planning it out for us. We've talked about giving and tithing and combating greed in our life. And last week we started on evangelism. And it's not just a way to get a good seat on the bus by telling people you want to talk about Jesus and having everybody give you a lot of room. Evangelism is a lifestyle. And this morning we're going to talk about the Good Samaritan. And this is, if you've got one of those study Bibles or one of those kids' Bibles, remember, you know, that had all the pictures in it. And I remember that. And I went to the doctor's office that I went to as a kid, had that, you know, it was the blue children's study Bible, and it had all the pictures, you know, the Adam and Eve and the Noah's Ark and all that. And this is the story of the Good Samaritan picture. But one of my favorites is by a guy by the name of Dan Burr, who is an current American illustrator, and he does a lot of different paintings of pirates and, you know, cowboys and stuff. But I you know, this captures the essence of the story of the Good Samaritan, the story of a guy who, you know, by no fault of his own was hurled into circumstances that he couldn't control, and he was beat up and he was robbed and he was left in need. Or maybe he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe he knew better. Maybe he knew that the road that he was traveling at the time, because we don't know, you know, exactly what hour specifically he was beat up and robbed, but we just know he was traveling. Maybe he knew that there was a really good chance of getting hurt at this point, at this time, in this place, and all that. And he just didn't care. And he just was reckless. And he found himself in this situation. Either way, all we're told is that two people passed him, one person stopped to help. And that's what I want to talk about this morning as we delve deeper into evangelism. And I'm going to warn you that this is a sermon that is going to require change, and not the kind of change that I was talking about when I was talking about giving, but this is the kind of sermon that's going to require transformation. As we think about evangelism, and last week, you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, okay, now my heart is broken, or at least it's breaking in that direction. Because remember last week we talked about in Romans chapter 8 where it says, you know, Paul was like, I wish that I could take on the curse of, you know, I want so bad for people that don't know the Lord to come to know Him. His heart was breaking for lost people. No, we've had an entire week of thinking about and meditating and praying about our heart being broken. Is your heart breaking in that direction? And if it's not, it needs to. The words that I'm saying don't need to be forgotten as soon as you leave here and decide where are we going to go for lunch. Think about, is my heart breaking for lost people? Do I want people to experience the gospel of Christ? Or do I just want to get a better job? Or do I just want to plan a better vacation? Or do I just want to be a good person so that I can keep the job? You know, whatever. Or do I want people to know Christ and Him crucified? Am I willing to invest my life in other people? Those are the questions that we have to ask ourselves, because what that does then is it brings about a lifestyle of evangelism. Then my life is all about bringing people to the Lord. Whether I'm a teacher, whether I'm a businessman or a businesswoman, whether I'm a housewife or a doctor or a lawyer or whatever I am, my job, my life is about bringing people to Christ. What I do for a living is incidental. All it does is support my God habit and give me opportunity to bring people to the Lord. So we have to ask ourselves, how do I live this lifestyle of evangelism? I mean, we know how to live the lifestyle of the American dream. We know how to live the lifestyle of whatever it is that we have concocted for ourselves. The lifestyle I think about the member of the show with Robin Leach, the lifestyle of the rich and famous. You know, maybe we don't know how to live that, but you know, we understand whatever lifestyle that we're used to. How do you change that? How do you convert that into a lifestyle of evangelism? To where it's the rule, not the exception, to talk to people about Jesus, to talk to people about the gospel. Well, the first thing that we have to do is we have to decide what's important to us. We have to make that determination. What's important? And this is a tough question, because there's a lot of ways that we can sanitize what we're doing, or we can justify the lives that we're living, and the lives that we're living are good lives. They're fine. It's hard to condemn people for being hard workers and busy people and all of these things. And it's hard to condemn people for not knowing any lost people. I mean, for most of us, and this has been my prayer all this week, is for us to meet and to know lost people. Because as you look around this room, most of us know mainly people like ourselves. We do. I mean, they might go to this church or that church or whatever, but for the most part, we know few truly lost people. So that's going to take a lifestyle change. Now, as I look around, there's some of us that know a lot of lost people, but for the most part, it's going to take a change. We're going to have to figure out a way to get in the company of, or at least just to start mining, M-I-N-E-I-N-G, or there's no E in mining. No E, okay. We're going to have to start mining the resources that are in front of us, the lost people that we're already around, cultivating relationships that will lead to sharing the gospel. And that's going to take a change. We have to decide what's important to us. We already know, one thing we already know what's important to God. We already know that, because in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6, he sends out the 12. He says, now, I've singled you guys out. Now I want you to go. I want you to heal people. I want you to preach the gospel of the kingdom. I want you to drive out demons. I want you to introduce people to the kingdom of God. He says, just go. You know, you've had some training. Now go. Also in Matthew 22:39, he says, he comes and somebody asks him, what's the most important thing that we can do? Now, we're all interested in that, aren't we? We're all interested in the most important thing, God, that you want me to do in order to please you. And Jesus says, well, it's this. You've got to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, everything. Then you got to love people. You got to love people, because that's what God loves. And it's not just the easy to love people, because in Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, is it so impressive that you love those who love you? I mean, even pagans do that. But what would be impressive is that you love your enemies, that you love those who are unlovable, that you love those who don't necessarily have any relationship to you. for the glory of God. Also in Luke 10, 2 and following, he sends out 72 more disciples. And that's where he says, you know, don't take a purse, don't take this, don't that. But he says, go and prepare the way for my kingdom to come. He says, these are the places that I'm going to go. And he tells them that basically they are the recon team. And they're to go and to set up or to establish a welcoming for Christ's ministry. I mean, you know, one of the things that I've learned as I've gotten a little bit more and more behind the scenes at Winterfest and, you know, going with Hayden to perform in Arlington and just becoming friends with Dudley is that there is a huge undertaking of people that come to set up for that to take place. That's what we are. We are the team that Jesus has empowered and instructed to recon the area and to set up the stage and to set up all of the arrangements to make sure that when the talent gets there, all he has to do is step on stage and perform. When we went down to Arlington, I mean, they had lights and they had all this, and Hayden didn't set any of that up. He just showed up with his guitar and plugged in and started singing. Now, Jesus is the talent. And see, what we're doing is we're setting the stage for him. We're getting everything prepared. We're letting our light shine. We are doing all that. We're getting all everything set up so that when those clouds roll back as a scroll and when that trumpet sounds and when the talent arrives, the stage is set. And he says, go and make that happen. So that when that happens, the world's not like, what? Who is that? I didn't know there was a show coming. I didn't know that this big event was happening. But Jesus says, go, prepare. Prepare for the coming of the kingdom. He tells them the harvest is plenty. Oh, there's people that want to hear it. Oh, there's people that need to hear it. This is one of those, you are here moments, because it's a what is important to you. See, the harsh reality is that most of us have to make a radical change. Because in Matthew 7 and 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but only those who do what my Father says to do. Only those who truly give their lives and their hearts. The only ones who will enter the kingdom are the ones who have been living in the kingdom and preparing for the kingdom and heralding the coming of the kingdom. He says, not everybody is in the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father. The whole purpose of what we're doing here and in our life, the whole purpose is preparing us to set the stage for Him. See, this morning, if we're here thinking that we are accomplishing a religious task in order to make God smile upon us, we're missing the whole point. See, what we are doing now is we're in a briefing, so to speak. Now, later there'll be a debriefing, but now we're in a briefing. And what we're doing on days like today is we're getting our marching orders, and we're getting our instructions, and we're getting the information that we're going to need because we're going on a mission when we leave here. We're going on a missionary adventure when we leave these doors. And so what you know, the singing that we do is to remind us of a lot of things: God's love, our forgiveness, the forgiveness He offers everyone else, the joy, all of those things. The prayers that we pray are to unload our cares and to take on the promises of God. The sermon that we listen to is the commands of the Word of God to go into all the world and to give them the message of the gospel. And so if we're sitting here as just passive observers checking off of a list, then write on your mirror today and read it, Matthew 7:21. And pray for radical change, because you're missing it. You're missing it. And it's not okay just to say, I'm a Christian, and then not act like one. And then not love what God loves, do what God's calling us to do. And that is a lifestyle of setting the stage for the coming of our Lord. Nothing else in our lives matters compared to that. Not how much money we make, not the savviness of our investments. You know what else? Not even the relationship with our own family. Jesus said that, unless you prefer me over your own family. You know the reason I want to have a strong relationship with my kids, so that they will know the gospel, they'll listen to me when I tell them the importance of the gospel, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the most important thing in life. So every relationship that I have, I want to be centered around that ability to set the stage for the coming of Christ. It's a you are here moment. Where are you in that directive? Next thing we have to do, figure out where we are. And then we have to set goals. I mean, think about it. It's all about accountability. Luke 10:34, he says, you know, when the Good Samaritan, and we're going to talk more about this next week, because this is the one step that we're going to spend 3 weeks on instead of two. But in Luke 10:34, he says, he went to this guy, the hurt guy, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring oil on them. And then he put the man on his donkey. He took him to the inn and took care of him. What was his goal? What was the goal that the Samaritan guy had? And the goal was to get this guy better. He had a very real and goal, a real and attainable goal. See, we treat every other area of our life this way. Coaches demand it. What's your goal? How are you going to get better? How are you going to, what are you doing in order to get yourself better? Bosses require this. Hey, what are you going to accomplish on behalf of the company? What are your goals? You know, you interview for your new job and they're going to ask you, what's your goal in 5 years? They want to see, are you a person of purpose, of industry, of self-expectation, or are you just a floaty kind of, whatever. Bosses require it. Teachers assign it. You know, hey, you have a goal from, you know, when we leave class today until we meet tomorrow, I want you to accomplish this amount of work. And you know what? Kids do it for the most part. You know what? I have a hard time. Now, listen, we have great kids at Highland Hills. And they're all achievers. I mean, they are accomplishers. You know what's frustrating is to know that we go to school five out of 7 days and they assign homework. In our culture, we just do that. I mean, we know we got to get our homework done. Parents ask, you got your homework done? Do your homework? What happens when the Sunday school teacher says, I want y'all to read this. You got a whole week to do it. I want you to read this to this. I mean, you know, what happens? I'll tell you what happens. Very little happens. We've got to be people that, man, this is our life. This, I mean, the rest of our lives operate like this, and we have no qualms about it. We expect it. I mean, we really do. But when it comes to this, when it comes to our evangelistic endeavors, when it comes to feeding our spirit, what are our goals? I mean, this guy has a goal. I want to get him better. And so he sets out to do those things. There's an expectation there. But in our situation, God waits for it. He waits for us to set spiritual goals for ourselves. And not just for us, so, oh, I'm going to go, I'm going to pray. But what are we going to accomplish on behalf of setting the stage for the coming of Christ? And the third thing that we have to do is we have to make a plan. We have to make a plan. Because a goal without a plan is a wish. Period. A goal without a plan, without a concrete steps, this is what I'm going to do, these are the next steps that I'm going to take, it's a pipe dream, it's a wish. So you have a plan. I have a plan for retirement. Oh, I thought I changed that picture. Is it really a plan? I mean, we could say, oh yeah, this is my plan. Is that really a plan? Let me tell you something. Building a building and unlocking the doors 3 hours a week, that's not a plan. That, and just, hey, man, people, and what are we going to do when we're there? And God says, hey, I wanted you to set the stage. We unlocked the doors and we had a sign, a blinky, blinky, blinky sign that told them the times. What's their problem? I don't know. I mean, they could have come if they wanted to. That's not a plan. That's a wish. That's a wish. I wish people would come here. Ultimately, each one of us have to assemble our lives in such a way that we are about our Father's business. I mean, think about Jesus, little kid Jesus. When he's lost, parents don't know where he is. They come back, I mean, because everyone was supposed to be doing something. I mean, this is a great example here. Everyone is supposed to be doing something. You're supposed to be walking this way because we're going back home. Okay? The religious thing is over now. And now we're leaving and we're going back home. And they realize, well, Jesus isn't here. And so when everyone realizes, well, Jesus isn't here, we're all going this way, and Jesus isn't with us, and we got to go back and find him. And they find him in the temple, and he says, didn't you know I would be about my Father's business? Regardless of what the crowd is doing, Jesus is about his Father's business. The question for us this morning, are we about our Father's business? When we ask ourselves, what preparations have I made? What preparations have I made for the coming of God? Are they a lot or are they a little? The crowd that we are assembling for the coming of our Savior, are they a lot? Are they a little? This morning, I want to invite you to take that next step. I mean, it's going to take radical change. Radical change for most of us to assemble our lives in order to be these preparing for the coming type people. But it's important. It's the most important thing in the world that we could do. And this morning, if that hasn't been your lifestyle, the great thing about God is that he is waiting and looking for people that are willing to make a change and just say, God, I haven't so far, but I want to now, and just use me how you will see fit, and wait and watch, and God will do what he does. This week, would you join me in a prayer that for God to open the door to just one encounter? Just one encounter, and say, God, will you please open my eyes to those that you want me to reach, that, and God, give me the words, because he says he will. In his gospel, he says, don't worry about what you'll say. Don't worry about what the words. I'll give you the words. Will you pray with me? Father, we come before you. And God, as we are in this building this morning, we come and we ask for you to open our hearts and our eyes. Father, give us the words to say. Give us the hearts to love, hearts to desire a relationship with you, and God, eyes to see those that you want us to reach. Help us to see the beaten and the robbed around us, to bend down and to invest our lives into them. Father, help us to be your people indeed and not only in name. God, my prayer this morning is that you would show each one of us here one person that we can talk to, form a relationship with, and bring into the love of your Son and our Savior. And it's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. This morning, if you have any response to the call of God to be prayed with, to be baptized, whatever your need is, if you just want to lay your life at His in His hands, would you join me up front as together we stand and as we sing?